And welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
And I'm Chemda.
Do not forget, get your tickets now for NYC Podfest. You heard how much fun LA Podfest was. Now it's on your coast. NYCPodfest.com. Get tickets for Keith and the Girl and see everything else going on there. Keith and the Girl VIP. We didn't mention this Monday and Tuesday, but new shows went up, but they always do. Today, Wednesday, a new show is up. Bottoms Up with Hennessy, episode 19, Spirit Animal, where Lauren and co-host Emmy count up to the bottom 10 things about moving.
While calling each other racists.
I assume number one is doing it at all.
I don't want to give the spoiler. I do remember number one, and I think everyone will agree on it. I was on this show a little bit, and so was Aldo. Aldo made an appearance. Some people might know him from the Keith and the Girl community. And Lauren and I are about to move, so we're feeling all 10 of them right now.
Was one of them when a friend invites you over to help move, and you come over, and they're not done packing? Talking about the show Lauren did right before that, here's some feedback. Episode 18, entitled, That Was Really Nice of You, Andrea. Awesome episode, says Lilp. Brought back some memories for me. Also, I have to say, you get an out if you end up puking, meaning while blowing a guy. I'd like to say that the majority of guys would be okay with you stopping. That is true. I wouldn't feel like you left me hanging.
Although, we talk about how Andrea masked it. Like, so while she's blowing a guy, she throws up, she masks it, finishes off. He has no idea that that just happened. It sounded like the most traumatic thing ever. It wasn't even the worst one, because we count up to the bottom. It wasn't even the bottom moment. It was absolutely amazing. Anyway, so she's saying that if she had stopped and told the guy she'd just thrown up, he would be fine with it. I think it was very nice of her.
That's got to be something
bothering. She masked it.
Is that bother Danny, though? Because it bothered me. You won't blow me, but you kept blowing somebody while you were throwing up.
That's fine. It could bother you all you want. Danny needs to realize how Andrea feels about him.
I'm not the one who's bothered by it.
We need you to grow up, Danny. I gagged and would not have been able to finish the job, so good on you, A++++. Bucho says, this episode was gold. But right? They're all just looking for hummers.
Let me tell you something. I was the worst. My story was the worst. And it's a story that I never told on Keith and the Girl. And it's about me hiding while someone's girlfriend is in the room.
Oh, boy.
Yes. So that's on Bottoms Up with Hennessy, available, of course, on our premium package.
You were the mistress.
Well, I wasn't. I mean, they just broke up, but it was like this whole big mess. Oh, my God. It was terrible. I was afraid that, like, because when I get nervous, I fart. And so I was afraid that my farts would give me away. There's a whole story. Anyway, get our premium content on keithandthegirl.com/VIP.
I started watching, by the way, American Horror Story. I haven't been recommending TV shows, I think, since Homeland. This show, I finished the first series, the first season. And I understand all this. There's something cool about this in that. This is what I understand. I didn't see it yet. Season 2 and season 3 aren't necessarily connected. I could be wrong. And they use the same actors, but the actors play different characters. So it's a little trippy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You just handed me the DVDs of, what, the first season?
Season 1, full season.
Yeah, I've been getting home like after midnight every night, so I haven't had a chance to watch anything, but I'm surprised that you gave it to me to watch. I know because you're excited about it, but anything with the word horror is not my thing, but I am intrigued by how much you're interested in it.
Because it's not a slasher. There's gore, but it's not that kind of movie.
Yeah, I just, when I watch TV, I don't want to be stressed, and that might be because Curb Your Enthusiasm stressed me.
Right.
Like, I watched a few, and I was really laughing, and it was very fun, but then his attitude on life stressed me. So I couldn't watch it anymore because a lot of times I watch before I go to sleep as like a yay me time, you know, and I just couldn't. So I'm curious.
Sparrow is writing in. Season 2 is a whole separate and different story about a mental asylum as opposed to a house. So good and better than season 1. That is impossible. If you watch.
That sounds actually better.
If you watch one show of this season, episode 1, you'll right away, if you want to know more, the show's for you.
Right.
If already it's like I want out of this, then get out then.
But I like that you handed me the DVD with that statement of you have an out.
Yeah. Like, there's an app.
Yeah, here's because it's overwhelming. The DVD looked like one, but there's, you know, four discs in there.
There's 12 episodes.
And so I think you know me well enough now that you're just like, okay, don't get overwhelmed. This is what's happening.
I'm nervous that it's so quirky, it's not going to make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense.
Hmm. Why do you have the DVD?
Somebody gave it to us that was trying to make peace with us, gave a bunch of DVDs that they obviously got free somewhere. And this happens to be in the collection.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, they won.
So forgiven. Forgiven. That whole Super Bowl party mess, forgiven. Xerxes is saying, when I Twittered, you know, is this show going to make sense or am I going to be left hanging? I never saw Lost, but I know everybody's complaints. You know, you're left hanging. They didn't tie it together. Xerxes says it's so good. Doesn't really answer my question, but okay, good is better than bad.
I don't know that you and Xerxes are on the same wavelength when it comes to what you watch or listen. I'm curious about it. I'm not just dismissing it. I just don't know that you guys would be watching or listening to the same thing.
I'm afraid I'm going to watch it and then go, I didn't care for it. And he goes, were you on vaporizers?
God.
You know. Jonathan Hughes says, it's in a world where ghosts exist and do shit with the living. Sense went right out the window day one.
Mm. And this doesn't sound like my thing.
But it does make sense. It makes perfect sense. That's the thing. That's what's so great about it. Now, some people are saying it's great. Some people say horrible. And I was like, okay, you guys got to get together and come up with an answer.
Keith has to know.
Right. And by the way, you can masturbate to it. This it's so good. It's on FX, but it's sexier than anything done on that HBO show with the Knights.
Newsy's saying is the third season pays for all.
What's this?
He's saying the second season was a bit of a struggle to get through, and he's saying the third season is what the payoff has.
Hey, whatever.
So everyone has a different season that they're like.
Well, I got to see them all. Somebody told me skip season two. I don't even know how you do that and live with yourself.
By the way, yesterday, right before the live show, Newsy turned on his cam in the chat, right? Of course, we were live. You could be in the chat. You could see other people's videos. You could see our videos. It's keithandthegirl.com/chat. And we're watching Newsy work, basically. And he's showing us the cat that he works with. And he's just sitting in front of a computer. Then, obviously, his boss comes, right? And I see his face just going, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, this is total work. And you just see, you see, like, Newsy's just ridiculous face, and then you see it turn into like, yes, everything you're saying is important. And I love that about watching people's cameras while they are at work.
Right. I had a question about the maid. I don't want to give anything away, but the maid, I don't get, I don't really understand it. I understand, you know, how people perceive the maid, but she's of a certain age and I don't know how she got that way. And nobody seems to know. So if anybody has an answer, let me know. So I started looking it up. And of course, Yahoo Answers gives you the answer.
Oh, boy.
If you accept that a house can hold on to ghosts, then you have to accept everything else without questioning how it works.
When is that ever an answer?
But I went back to this poll. And it was for show 1630, the bane of my existence, probably talking about Batman plot holes. And I asked the audience, do plot holes ruin a movie for you? Thinking the answer is, of course. It was 50-50. 50% of people don't care if there's plot holes in movies. To me, that's a relationship test. That's what makes a story. How can people be okay with plot holes? This show is so good. What's so good about it is that they painstakingly took the time to make a supernatural movie make sense.
Mm.
Over 10 hours, however long 12 shows is. That's crazy.
Sounds like Christmas is in the bag.
50-50, yeah. I'm into it. They did some math and they figured out what actors cost the most to hire, meaning you pay them a lot of money to be in a movie, but the movie doesn't do good.
And is this just for movies or all together?
Just for movies. Who's coming out with the biggest flops but demanding the most money? Number one, over the last 3 years, Adam Sandler.
Does that surprise you?
When you keep seeing movie after movie, I guess they're hoping for a Happy Gilmore or whatever his big hit was.
No, because what he's known for is that he produces his own stuff. So it's his production company, I think, that is failing, isn't it? Correct me if I'm wrong,
no,
obviously.
A production company makes it and then he sells it to the studio. It's the studio that's failing.
I thought he finances his stuff. You know what I mean? I thought he finances his stuff. That's why he gets to pick all the actors. He's producing it.
He's
That's why
paid.
You see the same people.
He's getting paid just fine. That's the point. But you never know. You don't want to, after I get, it's probably like gambling. And okay, I'm losing money on my fifth Adam Sandler movie, but that sixth one, that's going to be the moneymaker. And I don't want to miss out on supporting that one. Going down the top 10 list of people right now who are costing studios the most money, Katherine Heigl, Reese Witherspoon, Nicolas Cage, Kevin James, Denzel Washington.
Kevin James, is that the King of Queens guy?
Yeah.
Oh, that's, I'm very surprised at that because I feel like he chooses really correct movies for him. Do you know what I mean? Like if you like him on King of Queens and if you like him in general, he does such a good job of bringing that into the movies.
And you like him, right?
I do like him. Okay, and now, I always want to dislike him because it's kind of corny, but he does such a good job of doing that kind of role. He's so endearing. Mm-hmm.
And real quick, just tell me the Kevin James movies you saw. We'll start with the last 3 years.
The last 3 years, I don't know. But I haven't seen any movie in the last 3 years except when I have to be on Comedy Film Nerds.
What were you going to say? I want to hear this movie.
I saw the one with Will Smith. That was a long time ago.
Steve
he just ignores me.
There's no point. Steve Carell.
I am not the audience for this. I'm just saying that the King of Queens and this guy is very, 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 very popular. It's surprising me that he bombed.
It's a shame that restaurant failed. Did you ever eat there? No.
I am not.
But it smelled so good.
I am not the audience for it. No, but okay, how about this? I love Reese Witherspoon. Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised that she's on that list. And I'll tell you why. I feel like she picks the wrong movies. You know, I feel like she used to pick right movies where she was endearing or really, you know, going through it or really shining. And now I feel like she picks these really obscure cornball, we don't like you enough to follow this movie that we're not interested in.
Jennifer Aniston, Matt Damon, and Ryan Reynolds round out the top 10.
Matt Damon.
I guess I bought a zoo.
Oh, well, yeah, okay.
Kind of spoiler,
yeah,
right?
Okay, that's fair.
I don't know if we can get together money to get this zoo. I bet you can.
Or who cares?
All right.
Sorry that you can't buy a zoo. Sorry that the zoo is making you fight with your family.
Have you picked up Sherry's Berries for Christmas, for the holidays, for New Year's, to these parties you're going to go to? I hope you did. They are so good. They are so good. It's not a euphemism either when I'm telling you about strawberries dipped in chocolate. Go to berries.com, berries.com. Berries.com, click on the microphone, type in KTG, get strawberries at a 40% savings. Under $20, get a boatload of strawberries, double your order for $10. These are amazing. I've given them to my mom, I've given them to my dad, I've given them to friends, them from friends.
You should see people's faces when we're like, hey, you want a strawberry? They're like, really? Me? Yes, it's your special day.
They're so good. Berries.com. Click on the microphone in the top right corner. Type in KATG. Get these, you know, get your gifts out of the way. Done. Boom. You mail them right to the person's house. It's done. Takes 2 seconds. All right. I want to talk about the Nelson Mandela
fiasco.
People, he's dead. That's the fiasco. But on top of that, people are giving this eulogy. I mean, it's a big deal. The president of the United States is there. All this kind of thing. First of all, there's a man, you know, while people are giving their condolences, a man standing right by the main podium giving sign language. You don't have to go to school for it. It's not real sign language.
You should see. So we read about this and then we go to the video and it does not take knowing sign language to know that this guy's BSing. He's doing like what you would think you would do if you were signing.
He's doing like a Saturday Night Live interpretive dance.
Yes.
Right? And when you receive...
With no emotion.
And he's just putting his... The guy said like 2 sentences. He heard the word receive, so he just puts his arms close to...
Yeah.
Like he's catching a football.
Yeah.
Receive, that's good. And then he's making moves with his shoulders like...
Like you're baseball.
You're supposed to steal home. And I bet on this temp thing he just wrote, I do... Yeah, sure, sign language.
Yeah. Check. Nobody checked.
You're supposed to check that you can do everything.
Right.
And then they're like, all right, come on over. And he's just making things up. And you must, like, if I don't hear something right on TV, I'm like, is it my TV? Do I need to make it louder? Do I need to equalize it or something? If you know sign language and you're deaf, do you think it's the TV's fucked up at first? Is it like, my, did I forget sign language?
They were saying that the deaf community was trying to figure it out. Because sometimes, you know, real signers, the kind who get paid, first of all, get paid a lot. It's interpreters. A lot of interpreters right. get paid a lot because it's a real skill. And the real signers are really expressive. They move at lightning speed. They're so quick because you're interpreting. This guy was at half speed, no expression, no anything. So the deaf community went online and said, this guy, I don't even know if he's interpreting. We can right. only catch a couple words. I think if I were deaf, I would think, oh, maybe this guy, like as a hearing person, I would think, oh, he's not enunciating. So as a deaf person, I would think maybe he's not enunciating his... Right. Does that make sense? Like he's not committing when you really have to as a signer, you know, you really have to, they're so expressive and it's like they're acting it out almost, you know? So I would think that they would just, you know, kind of half-assing it.
I'd wonder if the guy had like an accent that I didn't understand, you know? Here's MJG. He's saying, well, he was probably the only person around that's proficient in sign language.
Right.
Yeah, who's I'm proficient.
Sure, I know how to. He probably just knew how to do the alphabet and thought he could just do it.
He knew how to wave hello and goodbye.
Right.
That's the thing. Well, Obama's in the paper now. Apparently, he's flirting with the prime minister of Denmark. She's not ugly, so she's called beautiful in the paper. You know, no offense to her. She's attractive. And here, we'll put the pictures on the website. Of course, you can see him in the chat room right now. But he's laughing with the prime minister. And, hey, we've all taken bad pictures, but there's Michelle Obama with a scowl on her face looking over like, here you go, what are you, Bill Clinton? And if it was just one picture, then okay, it was a bad picture. There's multiple pictures, and she has this scowl, and right next to her, the president and this prime minister really laughing it up. And I understand how the paper tries to trick you and make one thing look like a different thing. You know, it's the Post. I assume it's, you know.
Bullshit.
It's right-leaning. But I don't know. It's a little odd. And then he takes a selfie.
Him that and the, was weird.
It's, you know what? They say it's during the eulogies. I don't even see how that's possible. But say it's before the eulogies. It's still inappropriate and it's a little odd. No, okay. You know, I've been to, what do you call it?
Wakes. Yeah.
And you know what? If you can get somebody to laugh and it's not uncomfortable, everybody's into it. Nobody knows what to do. They feel dumb.
Yeah, but you could. I really think that you could laugh. You could be somewhat, you could be positive. You're not cheerful, but you're positive. At a wake, at a funeral, you could tell jokes. You can do that, especially if, you know, you're close with the family or whatever. I don't think that you have to be somber the whole time. I think that you're trying to interact and get a sense of relief and a sense of yourself and, you know, mourn in whatever way. But you're the president. You're the president and you're being watched and you're being photographed. There's a camera on you at all times. Don't take a selfie.
Well, here's what I'm saying. Everybody, no one in the audience is laughing.
Right.
No one in the audience is having a good time. Except these two hooligans.
Yeah.
Have a good time, but it looks like he's telling a story about a guy he knows from Nantucket. They're having a laugh. It's a little too much. You know there's cameras on you.
Yeah.
You know there's cameras on you, and your wife has a mug, and she is not too pleased. Miley Cyrus did not make Time Magazine's Person of the Year.
Her twerking needs some work.
Well, I think it was just to get people riled up, like, oh, that's the state of America. Meanwhile, what do you know about Edward Snowden? You see, just like me, you saw more Miley Cyrus videos than you read Snowden documents, you know? Oh, that's the place we're in. I can't believe it. Oh, new Miley's video? Is she naked? You know, everybody acting all high and mighty. But I think it was just to trick people.
You're right. It's a PR ploy.
Right. Well, Person of the Year is Pope Francis. Time Magazine has named Pope Francis Person of the Year, crediting him with shifting the message of the Catholic Church while capturing the imagination of millions of people who have become disillusioned with the Vatican.
Capturing the imagination?
It's amazing.
Who wrote this? What are they talking about? Give an example of some of my imagination that's been captured.
Well, they're saying how they're shifting the message of the church, which you know how I feel about this.
Yeah.
It's a smokescreen. It's disgusting. The new pope is worse than any pope. The new pope is, you know, people want to go back to what they believed in when they were a kid because it's still in the back of their heads. but I don't think I can because of your views on abortion, of homophobia seems to be the biggest one now. Oh, I don't know, kid fucking. And so then this priest says, you know what? Let's not focus, my friends, on the homosexual comments. Let's not focus on abortions. Let's not focus on these things. Let's talk more about love. And people get excited. You're not taking that stuff out of the Bible. All this stuff is still very sinful. You are still, for one, supporting homophobia. You're saying, let's not focus on it. That would be like if I drained my wife's bank account and I said, you know what, sweetheart? Let's not focus that I drained the bank account. Let's focus on things that matter, like love and respect.
I'm on board with you. I don't know. I think I wasn't in the beginning, but I'm on board with it now. I agree with you.
It's a smokescreen and people are falling for it. In September, Francis gave a groundbreaking and frank interview in which he said that the Vatican must shake off an obsession with teachings on abortion, contraception, and homosexuality.
Stop teaching them.
But you still believe in that. You can have abortions now then, Pope? I have to go. In July, Francis...
To the bathroom?
I have to go somewhere. Francis told reporters he was not in a position to judge homosexuals who are of goodwill and in search of God, making a break from his predecessor, Benedict, who said homosexuality was an intrinsic disorder. So what? Is it not a sin now? Of course it's still a sin. Of course it's still... Are you performing gay weddings right now? Of course you're not. Because it's a sin. Let's not talk about it. No, let's talk about it more. Not less, you motherfucker. Let's talk about more how homosexuals are people too. Let's just not talk about it. I don't want to start... I could see this is an odd room. I don't want to start anything. Let me not tell you my views on Hitler. I wouldn't go to a restaurant, by the way, that had a history of child fucking. But people are going to a place that abused children to teach them about morality.
Preach it, brother.
Thank you.
Preach it. Tell the word. Speak the truth.
Let's not focus on that.
Let's focus on you. Do your thing.
Speaking of kids, I came across candy in the store. Candy Crush has candy now.
What do you mean? Oh, smart.
The game that I'm against, they have candy. And I bought one because I'm curious. You know, all these new things get me. It's only filled up halfway. The candy in the box. There's a coupon so you can buy the rest.
Oh, shut your face.
Now, admit that's too much, people.
I the first thing I thought was, oh, like potato chips.
Right. Good for them.
Good for them.
A man was shopping in the mall with his girlfriend. His girlfriend refused to stop shopping. Said, oh, I just want to go into one more shoe store. He's like, you got enough shoes. No more fucking shoe stores. Just one more. We're already here. She kept insisting. He dove off. He jumped off of the 7th floor of the mall.
That just can't be.
This is a shopping center in Chukcha, China. He was inside the mall for 5 hours. He just couldn't take it. He jumped off the 7th floor.
You know, I do feel that way after an hour or two. So
yeah, he throws the shopping bags over and jumps over. Fuck this.
Do you know people, I'm just like, oh, I gotta find this dress for this thing I'm going to. And if I'm around some people, they'll be like, oh yeah, can I come with you? Like, I can help you shop. And I go, no, because I'll kill myself. You will watch me kill myself. I don't like shopping. I don't want anyone around to watch that. Do you know what? I walk into stores, I get mad and I leave.
I didn't tell my wife this. We went to the Gap recently to look for jeans. And maybe it's because of the holidays. I don't know. But everything's a mess. I couldn't find everything. I'm looking for my size every pair of jeans. And it's not like there was just a Black Friday sale and everything's thrown about. But it's not organized the way I would think it could be. I almost cried.
Yeah.
I almost cried. And I'm like, let's just go. It's like, oh, you didn't say anything. I didn't say anything. And, you know, I don't say this. But I'm like, I don't even want to talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
This is, I'm going to fucking cry.
I've done that. Where I'll get a few pieces and I'll fucking change, which is the worst.
Yeah.
And then I might see something on the way out like, oh, I wish I saw that because it's too fucking late now. Right. I'm not trying out another thing. It's too late. And I'll like say that to myself. This is it. Make sure you see as much as you can because after we go into that dressing room, bye.
Yeah.
I can't fucking stand it. And then people are like, why don't you order online? But I have... huge curves. Like, my waist is so much smaller than my hips, you know? So I don't know what size I am and what dress and what I have to try things on. And when they say you could return it, I was like, ah, return it. Who gives a shit? Right. I just hate shopping.
It's the worst.
Okay. You will know that I'm rich when I have a mannequin in my size, all three of them.
You have a mannequin in your size?
In all three of my sizes that I fluctuate.
Oh, I see.
And somebody else goes shopping for me.
Right.
So here, have this mannequin. Goodbye.
Right. Now, that's why when you find... Look, I don't want this to sound like a trick, but when you find something like Sherry's Berries, you take it.
Yes.
You take it.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you one more time. Berries, BERRIES.com. Click on the microphone, type in KTG, a 40% savings. I'm talking about strawberries at $19.99. Double your order for $10 more. It's a great gift. There's no hassle. And you know what? I've ordered this many times.
And you didn't kill yourself.
I didn't cry once. Didn't even tear up. Don't ask me to go for jeans, though. But Sherry's Berries is the way to play it, believe me.
Yeah, I've seen Keith tear up over Facebook. Like, I don't know, where's the share button? I don't care.
Right.
But never have I seen him tear up, except when the Sherry's Berries get here, and then he tears up from happiness.
Right. Welcome to Keith and the Girl Storytellers. And we have a storyteller come on, tell you a story. And then, since they're not really here now, we talk behind their back. Today is Adam Wade. His website is adamwade.com. His Twitter is his name, Adam Wade. He's been on the New York Times, NPR, TED Talks, New York Magazine. And now he's going to talk about his first Playboy, and Playboy being a rite of passage, which I agree 1,000%.
Don't forget that you could send your feedback if you're listening live, katg.com/feedback.
So I grew up in New Hampshire, and I have one older brother that's 4 years older. And my mother and my parents and like my mother and I, we had like a strong bond, like really strong growing up. My mother worked part-time at Filene's, and when she was off and when I was in like daycare and stuff, we were just like inseparable. And she would always take me to like all these different places. I just remember we go to like the supermarket. I used to sit in the carriage, like just the old school carriage. And then we'd always go to McDonald's after, and we would just get like an order of fries and we'd get tartar sauce. And I don't know why, like, but still to this day, like, I like French fries with tartar sauce, and it was because of her. And, you know, she thought it was the greatest thing ever. And it's just one of those things when you get older and you find out not everybody thinks that you're the greatest and your mother does, you kind of lose that innocence. So she was just awesome. And, you know, she always called, like, I'm half Greek, I'm on her side, and she would call me her kukla, which means like a doll. And like, I always had like, I had very blonde hair, and she would kind of, I mean, I was like a girl. She was treating me like a girl, I guess. So I had like a lot of long hair. But I just felt like I was the greatest thing, you know. So when I got older and I went to college, this was like a big thing for me. I went to Keene State College in Keene, New Hampshire, which was like an hour and a half from my town drive. So when I got there, it was just incredible. It was just like a big point in my life. And I just remember all the kids in the dorm that I lived in were just always bragging at lunch, like, oh, yeah, we're going to go out and we're going to like fuck girls and this and that. And I was like, oh, that's great. That's terrific. Yeah. And it was like their sexual liberation. And for me, I was just very excited about being there. But my whole thing was, my liberation was I was going to get Playboy in the mail. Now, my parents were both conservative in the sense that not so much politically, but more so. They didn't like to have like dirty magazines around the house. But I had one uncle who did, and like he was like more like a John Wayne, Charles Bronson man's man. So for like, that's what I thought of him. So like part of getting the Playboy was like, you know, now I'm going to be a man, like no more mama's boy, big boy, Adam, you know? And so I just remember just like filling that, like, you know, they, in college you have like, you could fill out all these magazines. It said like Sports Illustrated, and it said like Playboy. I'm like, oh my fucking A. And like I put my, and like the excitement, like I swear to God, like the excitement, unfortunately it was more excitement than when I lost my virginity. I was just so excited. Like the day, like I opened up my mailbox and out came my, like it was like wrapped in like that black plastic, and like I opened it up, and then I looked, and it was, of all people, it was Nancy Sinatra, which is, just really like I was like a little buzzkill to the excitement because nothing against older women, like, you know, I mean, I taste change and stuff, but at like 18 years old, I didn't want to see a woman in her 50s that does not trim down there. So I was just like a really odd, I was just like, holy, what is this? But then there was other younger girls, so everything was good. And then I became like the guy in the dorm that like everybody kind of, and like I wasn't in on the joke, of course, but like I would sit there with like my door wide open, me at my desk, and I'd be reading the Playboy every time it came. And people would be like, oh yeah, wait, hey Wade, Playboy guy. I'm like, yeah, what's up? And like they were making fun of me. They're calling me the Playboy guy. But I was like, yeah, what? And they're like, yeah, can we borrow that? I'm like, no, this is mine. And like I had like a trunk in college, and I put a lock on it. Like no one was touching my fucking Playboys. Like this was my Google. There's a convenience store two blocks away. You want to get your Playboys? You go. These are mine. And like, did I masturbate and all that? Come on. Of course I did. But to the Playboys. But it was just more like the whole thing of it was just getting the Playboys, and it just meant it was just like I'm finally a man, and like everybody else in the college are getting laid. They're experimenting. Me, this was my experiment. So after freshman year, I go back home, and it's the summer, and I got a job at the state liquor store on the highway. So I'm working at the liquor store, and everything's good. And a couple weeks later, I go home, and my mother's like in the kitchen, and she's just hanging out. She's like making dinner, and I'm like, hey ma, how are you? I love you. And she's like, ugh. And I'm like, what? And she's like, ugh, go to your room. I don't want to talk to you. You sicken me. And I'm like, what's up? And like, she never talked to me like that, like ever. So like, I go to my room, and I see like on my bed, and I always made my bed, like letters and everything, all these things open. My mother would always open my mail because she's my mother. And then you could see the plastic, and then there's this Playboy, and like like I'm like, oh my God. And I'm just like panicked. And then there's a note, and it says, we need to talk, mom. And I'm like, fuck me, like, can't, like, they forward the mail, like, really? And like, I just never thought about that. So like that night we're eating dinner, and my dad looks pissed, and my mom's pissed, and they're like, all right, well, like, what's up, why would you do that, like, you know? And my father's like, you know, you really embarrassed your mother today. And I'm like, dad, like, you know, listen, like, you know, I'm taking film classes, and like, I'm not trying to be a dick, but like, film classes, like, we have like a syllabus, and there's magazines we have to get. And like, I'm not lying, dad, come on. I've looked at the pictures. Okay. But like, they have great film reviews. I mean, they really do. And I'm taking film classes. Like, I got to grow up here. And like, it's total bullshit. I'm not kidding, but they were like, okay. And like, I was like almost to the extent where I was surprised, like they actually, like, I'm like, really? And they're like, all right, you know, and like my mother's like, okay. And like, we're sitting there, and I'm like, oh my God, like, this is, I never thought I could get away with this. So everything's cool for like two more weeks. And then I come home, and I walk in, it's the same thing, get out of work. My mother's in the kitchen. I'm like, hey, ma, how you doing? I love you. How are you? And she's like, you know, you're disgusting. Go to your room right now. You're disgusting. And I'm like, what? And she's like, go to your room. So I go to my room, and I open the door. And then on the bed, there's another like plastic thing ripped. And then there's a magazine, and it's this like very voluptuous blonde woman. And the magazine is Big Busty Blondes Who Love Big Cock. And then there's like an asterisk. And then when you follow to the bottom of the page, the asterisk says, it says, and little cocks too. And I'm like, oh, and I forgot that I got that extra magazine, but that was like a quarterly. And I thought maybe that would, you know, move. So next to it is this her new note. And it says, hey, Spielberg, are these for your film classes too? Mom.
Okay, damn it.
All right, that's okay.
First of all, shit with a big tits thing going to my mom. I related to every single.
All right, good. All right, good. All right, good.
Of course, they open your mail.
Yeah.
I did then, and I do now. That is, Playboy is a rite of passage, and it's not that it was nudity. Maybe just you just grew up understanding this. Playboy meant you were a man. There was the cigar section. We were really? All going to smoke cigars when we got older. Nightlife, lifestyle, Playboy Advisor. They always had that one cartoon, either right before or after the porn. So yes, of course, you were most excited that it was nudity. But it was like, I'm a man and I can read this now. It's not the same. Like,
did you read it?
Did I read it? Yeah.
You read it like he was talking about?
I would read it. Yeah. And I'm not... I don't necessarily have it for the articles, don't get me wrong, but you really looked at this because it told you what ties you're going to get.
Interesting.
You know what I mean? I'm not going to buy them.
It's I don't think that's the same anymore because you don't have to wait for a magazine anymore because of the internet. But I thought it was a little much the way his parents responded. You sicken me.
Well, here's the you know what? Look. My mom opened all my mail.
Which I think is crazy.
That's what I'm being told. Opened it all the time. Now, this Playboy came. It comes in that black plastic. Mm. Everybody knows what that black plastic is.
I don't know that I would know. I would know that it's a magazine. I would not know that it's a nude magazine. I really wouldn't.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that's the thing.
Yeah. I don't know how you knew that. Maybe because other guys.
And that's why I would look at my parents. See, we treated our parents dumb because they either acted innocent or really were clueless. They really didn't know the magazine. You know it's for me and you know it's in a black bag. And you're like, well, let's just open this and see what it is.
I really wouldn't know. I really wouldn't know. But if I had a teenage boy and even a girl... And I started getting nudie magazines. I'd be disappointed that they weren't slick about it because it's like, you know, life, you got to be a little smooth. So I'd be disappointed at their lack of charm or charisma, you know, their lack of thought ahead of time. Why would you want your mother to see this, you know? Why couldn't you figure out a way to get it without it going through me? But I would not be bothered if they watched porn or if they got magazines. Here's the thing, though, and this is the thing that would probably make my kid uncomfortable. I would want to talk about it.
You'd say, you can read these magazines, but read them with me where it's safe.
No, I would say something about, look, you can watch this, understand that there's a difference between real life people. And I know you know the difference. And I know that, you know that these are airbrushed. But these people are doing things because they're getting paid, and you really need to mind someone else, like that there will be another human being with you, not just this picture, because, you know, you're throwing your sperm all over the place.
Yeah, I'll still respect women, Ma. I'm going to be in the bathroom.
Yeah, that's, you know.
And you'd say, I'm very proud of you.
I don't, it doesn't have to be about proud or not. It's just, I think a lot of people are scared of their teenagers, and I think teenagers and children in general feel that fear. And it helps separate the parent and the child.
Why did the mom open the magazine the second time it came? She's like, okay, I made peace with Playboy. I'd like to read it too. What? Nasty twats?
Well, she was opening all his mail. Would you open your kid's mail now that you know?
No.
No?
But I would take a look at
it. You would monitor it.
I'd monitor it.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's coming to your house.
My mom was on the phone. We figured out she was listening. She'd listen to every call. I remember one time we were just gossiping about somebody in school, and my mom said, you know what, you shouldn't be, after the fact, you shouldn't be gossiping. And, you know, being clear that I heard your, there's no shame. I heard your call. I was listening the whole time. And I'm like, wow. Oh, you must have missed the beginning where we were rating a play.
See, I also,
not
fair.
It's not fair my parents were disgusted when I was a kid how much I lied, but you made me lie.
Yeah, that's too much because you have to release the valve. Like, I think even adults need to gossip. You know, you don't have to be mean about it, and you have to choose the people that you say it to very carefully. But if you don't release it, if you're nice all the time and you always see the bright side, you got to say some shit about some people sometimes. You still have to respect them, and you can't shit all over them, and you shouldn't do it in public, and you shouldn't, you know, shame them on Facebook or whatever. But if they pissed you off, they pissed you off.
This is why I couldn't be a mailman. Because I would realize, you know everybody in the neighborhood. You're talking over Christmas. You're getting gifts. You know that, there was a mistake. This magazine should not be delivered to this house. Now, I understand.
Why? What do you mean?
Because I know it's for the kid. And I know the parents.
And they're not over 18. And, whatever,
and they're, yeah. Or they are over 18. He's in college. But still, I know this is going to cause trouble. I would go behind the house and leave it there. And when I see the kid, I'd have to tell him my deliveries would take me 17 hours a day. Because you know some of your mail is going to ruin lives.
Right.
Like, oh, I figured out this letter's from the mistress. And he's off at work right now. And that's my job.
Don't gossip about it.
That's what my job is. I don't know. I'd be too involved. But yeah, you'd hear my mom pick up the phone.
Oh, my
you'd
God.
You'd hear a click because you were... And then you're kind of bummed out that you were so boring. Your mom hung up on you.
Yeah, but you're treating your mom like she's the CIA. You saw the movie Casino, where they knew that their mouths were being read, and they knew that the FBI or whoever was listening in on their call, and they knew the tactics. So they knew when they were listening and they knew when it crossed over. So at first, when they would call each other, they would have their wives talk to each other about nonsense for long enough for whoever's listening in on them to get bored because they're talking about shopping and nonsense, and the wives knew. Right. And as soon as they heard the click over, they would talk really quick and then give back the phone.
I see.
So that's what you were doing with your mom.
I guess, right. Well, also, whenever a Playboy came out, like my birthday's in April, if an April Playboy became more special than a May Playboy, because it was your birth month, and if you got a good girl for Playboy of the Month, you're like, oh, yes.
Oh, because
like,
it belonged to you,
It belonged to you. I got Samantha Fox. Another year, I got Jenny McCarthy. These were big deals.
I think you're right. Everyone has a Playboy story. Danny is writing in. He's right here on the couch. Mm-hmm. The barbershop I went to as a youngster had a stack of Playboys that I would sneak into the bathroom and jerk off to. I thought I was being sneaky, but one day I got up to pee and the barber said, quote, don't do anything funny in there. Whoops.
Yeah. I'm starting to put together when the hatches visit.
He takes the Playboys and goes to the bathroom.
And do you risk bringing them back? No, you leave them in the bathroom.
I didn't even think of that.
They're under the counter in the bathroom.
So every time you came in, a Playboy would disappear from the main room.
It'd even be better if you ended up stealing the Playboy. But no, they ended up cleaning the bathroom and they found it. And they're like,
oh my God. Oh my God.
They had to have a meeting. All right.
Yes.
Just to get this out of the way. Any of you adults masturbating in there? I didn't think so. All right. Keep your eyes open.
Isn't this the barbershop that your dad went to also? Your stepdad? Yeah. Oh, my God. I wonder if they had like a... You know what? The barbershop's not going to embarrass you. They're just going to be like, that's a teenager. Who gives a shit?
But they're going to say, no, how about your dad pay me? I don't want anything from your hands. You understand. I don't understand when you... Yeah, there's something about, you know, Playboy as opposed to Penthouse. Penthouse, meh, not bad. Hustler, they got into all piss and shit. But there was something about... There's something about Playboy that meant you were a gentleman. What is it that at airports they could sell porn? Anywhere from Playboy to Jugs with a Z.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I didn't notice that.
Pay attention. It's in every magazine rack, there's porn there. So you'll go, you know, and...
What, on the plane or something?
On the plane. So I'm going to be there with Cherry, just flipping through the articles. Oh, then she went into the washroom and two women were already making love. What's going to happen? Oh, boy.
That's
and you're
so
sitting right
weird.
Next to this person.
That I would feel really uncomfortable if somebody took out that magazine next to me.
I'd find it weirder if you didn't masturbate next to me with that magazine. Start jerking off. You're a weirdo.
Can I tell you, if you are reading the articles because you do have some sort of deadline and you had to get on a plane to read it, also buy a pair of scissors and cut out the article. So I don't know what magazine you're reading.
But you don't understand. These magazines are selling. And while it is a Playboy, it's also nothing. These other magazines are nothing but porn. There's no pretense. You're buying a magazine of all porn on every page. There's nothing to cut out.
Oh my God.
You can't even cut out the title. There's tits over it.
You know how many people are happy about that? Because it's the only time they get without their wife or something for a moment. Like, oh, I'm just going to sneak this in. And then when I come back, I won't have it anymore. It's brilliant.
Danny has the suggestion. Yes, buy a pair of scissors at the airport. I know families who their dad kept the Playboys. You know, they're not keeping National Geographics. They keep the Playboys and they give it to their son at 18 as a rite of passage.
Okay. Is that weird?
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought of this. I thought, you know, it took me so long to know how to masturbate. Like, I was 25 years old, and I needed a vibrator to help, that I would not want my daughter to wait until she's that old. I would really want her to start as soon as puberty hits, because I feel like it makes you less likely to be involved with the wrong guy, because you know you could take care of it on your own. And I told Emmy this. So I was like, yeah, I think, you know, around the age of 12, I'm going to introduce my daughter to vibrators. And she goes, no. I'm like, but, you know, she just kept cutting me off. No, no, no. And I'm just like, I feel like you can have that conversation without it being crazy. And she completely disagreed with me. And I'm like, all right, maybe you could be anti-vibrator and you be the one to tell my daughter. Somebody has to tell my daughter that this thing could happen. Right. Do you think that that's wrong?
I like the idea of you doing it, because I'm assuming you don't want her to do it because it's disgusting. That is a great idea.
That I don't want her to masturbate?
Yeah.
Oh, and that would turn her off to
it? Of course. No, I'd love to.
Right.
What do you recommend, Mom? I'm reading, people are feedbacking how they found their dad's Playboy and they masturbate to it. They don't take the time to think, oh, my dad masturbated to this. We do have a lot in common. Dad was right. We have a lot in common. Like, it'd be funny if I go, it was this woman, wasn't it, Dad?
Okay, what do you think about Emmy giving it to my kid? Like, hey, she's cool Auntie Emmy.
The whole thing is weird that you have this already planned out.
It's important.
How can I get my daughter to masturbate at 12?
It's important for that to not be such a big issue that, like, you know, I'm not picturing my daughter masturbating, but I would like to think that I can speak openly, like, it's not a terrible thing. Like, sex is not a terrible thing. Like, periods are not a terrible thing. Like, we constantly have to hide what our body parts do. And that, you know, there are a zillion questions in people's minds at that age. And I would like to think that she could ask me and that I can give her a sense of something.
I think the world's too free as it is. She'll realize. My dad's Playboys, MJG says, were from the 70s. And when I was 12 years old, I knew that that much bush on a lady was weird. It's overwhelming, you know? Okay, what? So I go in that? Where do you, huh?
I don't know, man. When I learned what sex was, I think I was 10 years old, and I was traumatized. I was traumatized. I really thought my mother was a saint for taking it for the team. I was like, wow, she must have really wanted children, that she would do that three times with my dad. What a good person. It was later on. I was way too old. And I was like, wait, you did it more than three times? And I realized that it felt good. I'm like, that can't be. That just can't be. That's such an invasion.
Is this part of the speech to the 14-year-old?
Well, she could ask me. And she's 12, by the way.
Oh, you're going to tell her at 12?
I got my period when I was 11.
My mom says she told me all about sex. I think I was 2. Because I don't remember a thing.
I do think you have to tell them at different stages, different things.
I wish I was told, I wish I was told every 5 years.
Lauren was about 5 years old. I don't remember how old. But Lauren's mom told her in a very, very specifically biological way. This is what happens. Then it goes to the ovaries, like that kind of thing.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Yeah, but then Lauren misinterpreted, told her friend about it. It was bad. It misinterpreted the vagina for the mouth, told
jeez.
Yeah, told a friend that, like, the way you have babies is that a guy sticks a penis in your mouth and then the sperm goes down your throat and into your uterus.
You know what? Lauren is a guy. It's always the guy on the playground that just talks shit. All right. Well, thank you to Adam Wade. You know what? If Gillette sends out their razor blades, or a razor to you for free when you turn 18, when you're a man. If Playboy did that, boom, that's this. I wonder if that's legal because it's porn.
Yeah, I don't know.
But if you sent out a Playboy, you're 18, you deserve a Playboy, I'd still be subscribed.
The Army should send it out to you. Oh, they should send out a postcard. Come get your Playboy right here. And then they recruit you.
But you get to keep the Playboy?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, we're all lethargic at war. Whatever. Whatever. Do not forget, please go to keithandthegirl.com/vote. The AV Club is doing a very important vote. What is the best podcast of 2013? And go there right now, keithandthegirl.com/vote, and you'll see in item number 1, you can answer with Keith and the Girl. Item number two, you'll see the question there. You can answer with Keith and the Girl. And for number three, we say answer with You Made It Weird with Keith and the Girl.
Yeah, and you don't have to sign up. You don't have to put your email. You don't have to give them any information. Everything that Keith just said is what you're putting in, just the answers.
You literally could have done it in the time that I said.
Yeah, and you can vote more than once, so please do. KeithandtheGirl.com/vote. Please share it. Let people know. Do it on all computers.
I'm going to do it right now.
Yeah.
KeithandtheGirl.com/vote. You go here, and it's going to pop up. Reader poll, best of 2013 podcast. I hit start. Question number one. The best podcast of 2013 is, and you type in K, and boom, out pops Keith and the Girl. So you click on that. Number two, in 2014, Podmass should cover, and right there you type in Keith and the Girl. Number three, the best episode covered by Podmass in 2013 is, and I know that they wrote about this, so type in You Made It Weird with KATG. You hit submit on the bottom, and boom, you're done. It's that easy. Thank you, and God bless. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
KeithandtheGirl.com